Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 12th of July. How's the 12th of July already?
I know. It's 12th of July, mid-July.
Where did that come from?
Like those years
flying like, by.
Flying literally in by. A heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. We say it every week, don't we?
We do.
We're always amazed at how fast the years go. Funny enough, it still goes at the same speed all the time. It's just, anyway, we're enjoying it, aren't we, Julie?
We are.
So as you can hear, my guest in the studio today is the gorgeous, absolutely wonderful Julie Daniel, the chic stylist.
Hey, 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 everyone.
Hello. And our guest is John Teffler from the Watlin Ubuntu Foundation. Did I say that right, John?
Teffler.
Tell John, what did I call you, John?
Tesla.
Tesla. John Tesla.
The car.
There have been worse versions.
I was more worried about getting the name of the foundation right. I forgot, completely forgot your surname wrong. Anyway, it's John. John.
Hello,
from
John.
The Watlin Ubuntu. That's right, isn't it?
That's right.
We're going to find out more about the Watlin Ubuntu Foundation in a little while from John and exactly what Ubuntu means, because I'm really looking forward to finding out that. We've got a packed show for you. We've got lots to talk about. We do, as always, want to hear from you, the listener. We've got a few shout outs this morning, and keep those tweets coming in. Let us know what you're up to, how your week's been. And for all those, I shouldn't say just working mums, but predominantly working mums or parents out there, are you prepared? Are you ready? Because for most of us, it's just 1 week left.
It's all happening at the moment.
Hello.
Sports days and picnics and assemblies and school trips. There's so much happening leading up to the end of year for me, at my school. Yeah. Same for you?
Yeah, absolutely. There's all sorts of stuff going
just
on.
Just trying to fit it all in.
It sounds like parents shouldn't work because then they can spend all their time
doing the school activities.
Cool stuff,
absolutely. And then, of course, as you say, we have another glorious 6 weeks to come.
6 weeks, 2 days.
Of those little bundles of joy stuck to our hips.
We're going to discuss that in a minute. But do give us a tweet at Bunker Extra with the hashtag Be Extra, Be Bunker. Let us know how you're doing. You can, as always, give us a call in the studio because we'd love to speak to you. Why not give us a call on 01233 220035, 01233 220035. And as always, if you'd like to be as a guest on the show, if you'd like to come on and tell us all about yourself and your business, or if you've got an event coming up you'd like us to shout out, give us an email at bunkerextra@gmail.com. Now, last week on the show, our co-host was the wonderful Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law, and our guest was Roland Stanley.
Oh.
Exactly. And that is the reaction everybody has.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Every
it's
time
too
you say,
lovely.
Every time you say Roland's name, it's Roland Stanley.
Oh.
Everybody's
he has that effect on us
you
girlies.
Do. You have that effect on us all.
He's
women,
lovely.
Roland. We all go, But it's brilliant, actually, because we were talking about, obviously, Dragon Co-working. Mm-hmm. And he was telling us about the plans for expansion and where he's going with it and everything. So it was, it was a really great show.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Great guy, just making amazing things happen.
Absolutely. So if you missed that show, if you want to listen to it, if you go to the Biz Radio website, bizradio.co.uk, click on the extra tabs and all the shows are there and you can download the podcast and take us with you wherever you go. So you've got a whole load of shows there. You can catch up with everybody, which is great. But it was a great show. We had loads of conversation going on, lots of fun. So that was really, really great. So yes, Julie, tell me, are you one of these super organised mothers who's got your spreadsheets and charts ready for the summer holidays?
Hell no. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
A lot of it, you've got to go with the flow, don't you?
You're a wing and seed type of person.
Most definitely. I mean, in business as well, you know, we don't stop working. So I may have a client and I may have planned the beach day and it's going to go out the window when, you know, Miss I Want to Shop comes along. So I have to unfortunately drop the kids on those occasions. So really, we have a general vague idea of the key things we want to do. So literally just last night, myself and my husband sat down and we're like, okay, we want to treat the kids. My daughter's year six, so she's literally finishing primary. She's starting a new school, big school, in September. So she's done amazing and she's got into an amazing school. So, and of course, my son equally, you know, had a really good year. So we wanted to kind of treat them. So I don't know if you've seen the adverts for The Illusionists, Shaftesbury Avenue. Oh, my God. It's like hardcore magic.
Really?
Like real amazing magic. All the Britain's Got Talent type stuff.
Yeah.
And then some, you know. no Paul Daniels styling. We're talking, you know, the real deal or mind reading and, you know, helicopters like appearing out of nowhere and all that kind of great stuff. So that's going to be amazing. So we thought, you know what, we're going to do that kind of the weekend after they break up. And we're treating them to that. And they don't know anything about it. They don't listen to this show.
That's okay.
So I have no problem with blowing the secret. And, yeah, we're going to go down there and just hit up the theatre, which is going to be amazing. We were actually going to do a sneaky and just me and my husband go out and have some drinks and have a really good night out. And then we felt really guilty.
There's a little bit of guilt there.
So we're like, okay, let's add two extra seats to that to that ticket. So, yeah, so that's going to be amazing. So that's the kind of first thing we're doing to launch the holidays, and then we probably can't afford anything else for the rest of the next 6 weeks.
Work experience. Yeah. They're never too young to start work experience, are they?
No, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, my daughter's seven. She's coming to work with me.
Well, this is it.
We like doing a bit of work experience. Start them young, John. That's what we do.
Be a grandparent, I think, is the answer.
How many grandkids have you got?
Four.
Wow, that's lovely.
Four grandchildren.
So do you get to spend a lot of time with your grandchildren in the summer holidays?
Enough.
Yeah, enough. And that's enough.
Okay, I must say.
Well, two of them are at university, so that's a bit difficult.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm quite old.
What was it you said earlier? Yeah, well, I am older than Donald Trump.
Yeah. Oh. Sorry.
So, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that what we're talking about? Grandchildren.
Yeah. So what about you, Amanda?
Yeah, no.
What, plans?
No.
Anything?
No.
No.
I was saying, I need to sort out my plans. I've tried all sorts of different ways. Like a couple of years ago, I had my whole colour-coded chart. Working hours, free time hours, this hours, that type of thing, and spreadsheets and everything.
I mean, who sticks to that? You clearly didn't.
I think for the first week and then it went out the window. So it's
great intention.
As you say, I think it's have a wide idea of what you want to achieve. Mm. Nanny and Grandad are going to have lots of visits.
Oh, yeah.
And stayovers, because Lucy loves staying with Nanny and Grandad, which is great. We have got a holiday planned, which is lovely.
Lovely. Where are you going? That.
France, the south of France.
Beautiful.
Yes. Paul's...
And you always guarantee brilliant weather as well.
Exactly. Well, Paul's son and daughter and grandson live down in south of France. So we're
amazing.
We're going to go and visit them, which will be lovely. And, yeah, I guess a mixture of days out, but then also... we're lucky we've got a big garden and a pool, so I can just chuck her in the pool and I can sit and work while she's splashing around.
Sometimes they just have to occupy themselves.
Exactly. But I'm very lucky with Lucy and she's very good. She's quite happy to occupy herself and do stuff. So I have said to her in the first week, I've got a few trips, site visits, and I said, are you going to come do some work experience? She went, do I have to? Yes, you do. And also on the Monday, the first Monday, the 22nd, I'm actually speaking at the University of Kent in Canterbury to the NCS, which is the National Citizen Services.
So am I.
What date
I haven't
doing?
Confirmed the date yet.
Oh, I'm doing the 22nd.
22nd? Mm. And where is that?
At the Canterbury University.
You're doing it at Canterbury because there's a few of you locations.
So.
I've got to look at my dates. They just sent me the email of the dates.
Yeah, so, that's brilliant. Yeah, no, I've something
good
that,
stuff.
I like to... try and get out there and inspire or talk to the younger generations and
because these kids are they've just finished their GCSEs.
Yeah.
They're going into a kind of a camp, aren't they, for a few weeks to learn all sorts of skills and, you know, be very adventurous. And they're going to have all these talks by some great business people like ourselves.
I know.
Going in to inspire and motivate them.
Exactly. I don't know what I'm going to talk about yet, but we're
me neither. That's probably why I haven't signed up to the date yet.
But no, it's fine. I think it's
good
just
stuff.
It's about sharing your story.
It
you,
is.
You,
absolutely.
Of the different, I was explaining to John off air that I've had quite a diverse working life. So I think it's nice for the younger generations to know, you know what, it's fine to try something, you don't like it, move on.
I think it's very important, isn't it, that they learn about all these things.
Exactly. Yeah, and always, I think it's quite surprising. There's still the pressure from schools to do college and university and that's the way to go. And, you know, it's not the only direction.
That's league tables, isn't it?
Exactly. And that's, schooling system needs to change because even from the younger generations, like, you know, the 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, when they have to do their SATs and all that type of thing, it's like, you can't judge every single child the same because
so
they
difficult.
Have
they have so
strengths.
Many different, exactly.
And they
talents
can't be,
gifts.
They can't be, made to feel, if you know, they're not academically inclined, they shouldn't feel bad about that. My nephew, bless him, he's really a creative, he's fantastic, and he's not academically inclined, and he's just doing his mocks at the moment. And the amount of pressure that he's getting, I can say this because my brother doesn't listen to this show, that his parents give him because they feel the schools give, that they have to do so well with their mocks, it's so important to do well with mocks. No, it's not. It really, really doesn't matter. Yeah, you've always got to try your hardest at what you do.
But it does take away their individuality a little bit, doesn't it?
Exactly.
You're kind of moulded as academic that everybody is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to have it as a backup. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I want my kids to go as far as they need to within the school and educational system.
If that's what they were inclined and that's what they like doing and enjoy doing, then absolutely, definitely.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm not saying it's bad at all. It's just it's not for everybody. And
it isn't.
They need to remember that it's not. Not
it isn't. I think, go as far as you can with it and then start exploring other opportunities, you know, and there's so many other vocational courses as well now. So they can go down that route.
Well, they're
too.
All different, and it's a question of drawing out their expertise or their likes and dislikes.
It is. And that's why, talks that myself and the manager are going and doing is giving them, some insight into other sort of career options and ideas and how other people have done it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to
that. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Go you.
140 young children.
Yes, 100 odd,
I know. I was like, I'll do that. Oh, okay. No, it should be good. It'd be good. But anyway, I have to, before going any further, I must give a massive shout out to the Business Diaries, which was on last night, the Chatham version at the Medway Innovation Centre, run by the wonderful Lisa Settle of Telcare. And this is going, must be the third year running now that the Business Diaries have been running. And I have to give a big shout out to all of the speakers. So I've got the list so I don't forget them. So there is Anne-Marie Fenchon-Cockins, Natasha Sutton, Sonia Kimpton DeVille, Josephine McCartney, and our very own, the one and only, Richard Bell.
Ah.
Each of them had each Business Diaries, if you've not heard of it, Business Diaries is just, it's almost like an informal networking evening where business owners or people from business get to tell a personal story that helped them in a certain way to where they are in their life now. And last night's theme was finding my identity. So each of their stories were of different parts in their life that they felt helped form their identity. They were,
it's going to be really interesting.
It was so interesting. Yeah, and it's always lovely to hear people's stories. Yeah. It's so interesting just to know the person behind the person that you know. And each of the stories was really, really great, a mixture of funny. And I do have to give an enormous shout out to Richard, whose story was amazing. He was very, very brave. You're going to make me blush now, Richard, but he was very, very brave to tell his story. I won't do the ins and outs of it because it's not my story to tell, but we were all sat there riveted. And he did it in such a way, it was a very emotional story, and he did it in such a way that we were with him, but then he added a little bit of humour that we didn't feel his pain, but we understood the story. And then obviously there's a lovely positive outcome at the
end
of it.
That's the makings of a good storyteller there, when you can bring humour,
exactly, just the way that he did it. It was fantastic.
Emotion.
And it was a really great story. And it was great to hear, as I say, a different story and a different part of Richard's life, which was brilliant. But all of the speakers last night were amazing. The Business Diaries. The next one is the Tunbridge Wells one, which is later in the year. And then the Chatham one's again in December. But well done to you all. It was a fabulous evening.
Well done.
There wasn't quite enough Prosecco. Next time, Lisa,
Amanda,
can we have a bit more, please? I mean, they've only got four bottles in. And me and Gemma are in the house.
God, at least, yeah. We've got three of those.
Kate Merrin. And then, the three of us were there. That's a bottle each. So come on. It was good. We have a couple of shout outs on the Twitter. We have had a couple of shout outs from Richard. Thank you, Richard. I'm loving the dancing panda bear there at the moment.
Friday dance.
Lisa is listening. So, Lisa, the NCS is a wonderful thing to do. Very interesting. Great opportunity for the students.
Yes.
They haven't heard me speak yet, Lisa. They may not agree with you. When I was in Switzerland, I hit the head of a mafia boss over the head with a plastic shovel.
You did?
Yes. He was part of the Pizza Connection in Switzerland. Pizza Connection is the Swiss mafia.
Oh my word. And you're here to tell the tale.
I didn't know at the time.
You got through it.
And I was only 19 years old.
My goodness.
You can imagine a 19-year-old me, I was very feisty. We have a shout out for the lovely Kate Merrin at Athelbray. It was lovely sharing Prosecco with you last night, Kate. As I say, they just needed to have a little bit more. This is a really huge shout out for you for Saturday night. They're off to Wembley Stadium for the National Family Business Awards, and they are finalists in the professional services category with FB Place. Very excited. Well done. We are thinking about you.
Most definitely.
And keeping everything crossed for sure. Definitely. And we do have a tweet from the lovely Chris Hyde. Hello, Chris. He's back. We thought you'd vanished, gone off to Mars or something, Chris. So he's listening live this morning. So that is Chris from Chameleogenics. I see. I can still say it now, Chris. And he's changed the spelling of his Twitter handle so it makes it easier. Chameleogenics, because we used to have to spell out Chameleogenics.
Oh dear.
Which is not an easy task.
That's a no-go. Especially after a night of prison.
Well, exactly. To be fair, I only had a couple of bottles. Can you find any more? Chips and Dinks.
Chips and Dinks this morning.
They're going to catch up later.
Yeah, big shout out to them. They got in touch. I've also got Graham Baker, who shouted out this morning to me from Studio GBP. He's a photographer, an amazing one at that. Emily from Pink Spaghetti, shout out to you. You came to me as well to say morning and have a great show, and we certainly are. So thank you as well, Emily. Mm-hmm.
And we've just had a lovely tweet from Paul. Thank you, Paul, saying, oh, not enough Prosecco, huh? Never enough Prosecco is the trouble.
Paul knows that.
So what have you been up to anyway, Han?
Oh, my God. I met, do you know, Lynn Franks, OBE. Lynn Franks is all about female empowerment.
Yes.
She is serial entrepreneur.
Is she related to Anne Franks?
I don't think so.
No. I just thought it would be really good if she was.
I assume not. Maybe she is. Yeah. It's the million-dollar question that I didn't ask
you
her.
You didn't ask her. Are you related to Anne?
So it was just amazing. So I went to an event, had a bit of a chat with her beforehand. This woman, she's like in her 70s, like 71, 72.
Are you feeling young now?
You should be feeling really young now, John.
Wasn't she the person who Absolutely Fabulous was based on?
She was. Yeah. She absolutely was. Absolutely Fabulously was. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes. She was based on the Ab Fab sitcom.
She's extraordinarily well known. Yeah.
Yeah, big, massive PR legend is our Lynn Franks. And she had taken her agency, you know, kind of worldwide. She went over to America with it. And, you know, she was a fashion designer as well. She was actually the creator of London Fashion Week, single-handedly. And she is just so inspiring to hear her story and all the things that she's been involved with. She now is, I understand, a Buddhist. And she, you know, she's very spiritual. And she really does kind of, you know, live and breathe that in what she says, in how she connects with you, in what she's now doing, actually. She's moved out to Somerset and she's opened up a well-being cafe where she has lots of retreats.
Okay.
Mainly for women. She's not saying she's gonna dismiss the men, John, but I think, you know, she's always been about female girl power and she's continuing, you know, on that mission. So it was just absolutely amazing and so inspirational listening to somebody like that. She also had been on, you probably wouldn't have watched this, John. Maybe you might have, Amanda, but Anton Deck, a few years ago, I'm a Celeb, Get Me Out of Here. She was the one causing all the contention and all the issues and she was on there, yeah, with all the bugs climbing up her nose and ears.
Yeah, I only watched it because my parents made me watch it. I hate that show.
I never used to, but I just watching them go through these ridiculous trials of insect eating madness.
I think ridiculous being the operative word.
Oh, yeah, it is. But no, so Lynn was absolutely amazing and I'm so glad to have met her, and she's invited me personally over to her Wellbeing Cafe. So I'm going to have to take a trip up to Somerset at some point and go and check her. But yeah, other than that, I've been given some talks, get myself out there, my usual London vibe. So been talking at some London women network groups, which has been brilliant. Some amazing opportunities come out of that. They've got a big charity volleyball on the beach session happening in Canary Wharf. They've made it into like a beach sort of effect with sand and God knows what. And there's all the corporations, all the firms in the vicinity have all kind of, you know, got involved, and they're all participating in this beach volleyball on the wharf.
Cool.
And it's like a massive thing. So I've kind of helped kind of get involved in that and, you know, doing a bit of sponsoring there, which is great. So yeah, I've been having a bit of a play around with that, and I'm going to go visit them over the next week or so, see how everybody's, you know, pumping those balls of action.
Pumping those balls.
Pumping those balls of action over the nets.
You didn't tell me it was going to be that sort of
Yeah, well, sorry. Did you realise we were going to go... Are we past the woodshed yet?
No. Well... So, yeah. So,
Don't get too excited.
We've got to get the raise the energy. It's Friday. So yes, for me, I've just been out and about as usual, meeting some great people, giving some great talks. As we said, the NCS talk's coming up soon. Really look forward to that. And just making great things happen. Lots of personal shopping trips. Oh, my latest thing, selfless plug, is I am looking at putting out my new online colour consultations. Ooh. Now. So I'm fully up to speed with it and I'm going to start promoting that soon. Mm. So anybody who wants to get their colours done, based on their eyes and their hair and their skin tones, and they want to have those fabulous colours to really enhance and complement them through the summer and into the autumn, because unfortunately that's coming very soon.
Sorry to say it.
But there's some beautiful colours coming into the autumn, because we have some gorgeous, you know, all the burnt oranges and the beautiful, you know, the burgundies and the lovely hues coming into the autumn. So anyway, anybody who wants their colours done, we can do that now online with me, the Chic Stylist. So, just go onto my page, look me up, and I will put some offers out.
I love that. Okay, so I have a fashion question. Mm-hmm. This typical British weather that we don't know whether we're going to be hot or cold. Literally from 1 minute to the next.
Yeah.
It's like today, it's gorgeous out there. You turn around the corner, the wind's blowing and it's freezing. So what's the best way to look good and dress for the weather?
Layers, darling.
Layers.
But what all about the layers?
What type of layers?
So of course it's cardies. Mm. It's, your denim jackets for the summertime, because denim is always a good thing. Denim and a good maxi dress, brilliant combination. Of course, you just throw that off and then you've got your maxi dress and you're looking good. But the denim...
John's thinking your friend.
Does that apply to me?
And you know, John, you can equally do the denim jacket, not the maxi dress, I'm afraid. No. But it's about layering, clever layering. Yep. Thin, light layers. And you can get really nice cut cardies as well. So really thin, lovely.
Because that's the thing, cardies get a bit of a slamming sometimes, don't they? Like, oh, you don't want to wear a cardie.
It's about
cardies
the style and the shape and the colour.
So find
if you can bring some prints, something with interest, you know, something colourful for the summertime. You know, we shouldn't, although I'm wearing a black cardigan.
You know, I've got black.
It's got gorgeous bling buttons, you see. So I have the detail there. Devil in the detail.
Yeah. Because that's the other thing as well, isn't it? Black is always the safe colour, isn't it?
It is. It's safe. It makes people feel comfortable. It's unfortunate, really, because everybody's wardrobe is just full of black. Mm. And it is about educating people that there are other colours out there in the rainbow that are outside of your black. So usually black, navy and grey are the core colours most people wear. Yeah. And as soon as we hit the autumn, everybody's strapped back to it. So it is about, if you're scared of colour, it's about just using it sparingly. So in your bag and in your nails, even in a scarf, in your makeup, hair accessories are really big at the moment, actually. Hairbands and all sorts
really?
Of... Yeah. They're coming
for
back.
Grown women.
Yeah, like scarf bands and you can do all that. If you know the Ab Fab, where she puts the turban... types headscarf on, those kind of things come back too. There's a name for it. Sorry, I've just lost the plot and I can't remember what they're called. So you can have all of that going on too. So it's about bringing colour into your life, and it doesn't have to be a full ensemble like me today in my orange, but it can be just subtle in how you and how you can cope with it. But there's nothing better than when you've added colour to just lift spirits. It really does lift spirits, doesn't it, John?
Well, if you say
doesn't
so.
It, John?
The hair colour thing was sort of going up my head.
The hair colour's gone, but you know, colourful, well-shaped cardigan for you, John. That's where you should go for.
Twin set and pearls, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's right. You got it.
Perfect. Well, there you go. There we go. That's a bit of a fashion tip for you today. Now, one thing I did forget to mention at the beginning of the show, which was, you know, we've only just recovered. Julie, this probably won't affect you, but did you know, and John will be like, straight up his head, major disaster happened last night.
And that was...
Twitter went down.
Yes, I heard.
Across the world.
I heard. Well, I saw
completely.
It on TV and somebody said they had, like, it was on Jem Revine this morning. And one of his guests was saying they've got about 700,000 Twitter followers. And as of last night, it showed minus one follower.
We all had.
Did you all have the minus one? Was that the thing? That was the virus.
But right. you couldn't tweet. You couldn't do anything for a couple of hours last night.
Is it back on?
It's back on. Don't worry, back on now. Paul literally almost had a heart attack.
I can imagine.
He's like, what?
Absolutely.
Twitter, it's not working.
See, this is the problem with social media, isn't it? You know, we put in and invest so much time and effort into it with all our tips and our value, our videos and so much in there. You know, that's our brand building platforms there. And the night, the day that turns off,
there you go.
What the hell do we do?
I know.
All of that effort and time and value.
But it's
gone.
Interesting because Facebook and Instagram were down last week, wasn't it? I mean, you couldn't get pictures.
Yeah, it was a very pictures, short timeline there. Pictures. It wasn't very long. I mean, that's my core platforms. Twitter isn't my platform.
No,
so it hadn't affected me massively. No,
you didn't have a part.
But
of
I know when Instagram goes down.
It was at the Business Diaries tweeting away, and me and Gemma went, Twitter's down.
What?
And I went, Paul's like, oh, it's not working. Twitter's down.
He's
like,
never heard
Paul
Twitter
went
white.
It's not white. Twitter's gone.
You don't know, is it going to come back?
No, exactly. And it's gone.
Oh, forever. That's the worst ever. Yeah, no, heard that.
But, yes, but don't worry, people. It's back.
It's back.
Apparently, they were switching something over and it all went a bit wrong. And that's
well, they're making lots of new updates at the moment.
Yeah,
I mean, Instagram has been crazy with updates. Mm. And as a result, you know, you're not getting the reach now that you used to. Which is devastating because when you're putting such great stuff out
and they
there,
always do that. Why do the social media platforms always do that?
It's
same with Instagram, with LinkedIn.
LinkedIn
was amazing.
And LinkedIn too.
LinkedIn,
oh my God.
The followership on viewership on LinkedIn is
it's cut drastically,
so
hasn't
straight
it?
Straight over John's head here. We're going, shh.
Yeah, being the social media phobe that he is.
Well, if it's well used, I'm all for it. But it's just beyond my comprehension, unfortunately.
We love it. But yes, no, we don't even get started on the social media rant otherwise. We'll be here all day and
we need
to have a break and we need to speak to John. So let's have a quick break. So you are listening to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 12th of July. I'm joined in the studio today by my co-host, the wonderful Julie Daniel, the chic stylist.
Hey, hey, hey.
And our guest is John Telfer. Yeah, I got it right that time. From the Watlin Ubuntu Foundation. We're going to have a quick summary break song and then we'll be back to speak with John after this. Do you like it?
What you can find. If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If a daddy's poor, just do what you feel. Speed along the lane, you can turn or return at 25. When the sun goes down, you can make it good and lay by. When I grab people, when I daddy, when I mean, we love everybody, but we do as we please. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go sailing in the sea. Philosophy. Sing along with us, dee 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 dee, da 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 da, yeah we're happy, happy. Da da da, dee da da dee da 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 da, da 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 da, da 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 da. Sing again, we go driving, or maybe we'll settle down. If she's rich, if she's nice, bring your friends, and we'll all go into town.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Welcome back. We're still here. We've been talking about cricket, funnily enough.
Cricket.
We did talk about cricket.
We did talk about cricket.
We was just saying, actually, I was, in fact, it's a conversation I've been having with my daughter recently because we drive regularly past a field where they play cricket. And she's like, oh, what is that? And she said, do girls play cricket? And I said, well,
They can.
There's nothing that girls can't do. And we were just saying with John, because John, cricket is one of John's passions, that actually there are female cricket teams out there.
And they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, well, I should imagine, you know, they've done really well in football recently.
Football, with the female championships.
They're better at football than men. They're bound to be better at cricket, because, you know, to be fair, the English cricket team don't, you know, I don't follow cricket, but...
They're in the World Cup final, though, on Sunday.
But the cricket.
English cricket. English.
You clearly don't follow cricket, Amanda.
No, I didn't realise the World Cup final.
World Cup final. After you slated the English cricket.
You're rubbish. No, but all you see in the news is, oh, England are out again. It's about as much as I follow it. So well done, the English male cricket team.
She's backtracking. World Cup final on Sunday. Yeah.
Well, good luck to the English men's team.
There we go.
Moving on swiftly.
I used to play every weekend.
Did you?
In Kent?
Yeah, mostly in Kent.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Love it. And so what else do you do, John? Let's move on to, let's find out more about you. Tell you what, I'm going to, because we were discussing before the show what to talk about, and then say it's always, we try not to ask too much before the show, otherwise we forget what we're going on about. But first, give us a little brief background to you, and then how you came about setting up the foundation.
Right. How long have you got?
Yeah, we haven't got long. A couple of minutes. Make it the short version.
Well, Watling Ubuntu came out of basically a lifetime's experience of mine, which is predominantly in education. I worked for various universities, London University particularly, and then I ended up in Canterbury. And that's really what led to the Watling Ubuntu being formed.
But what were you doing in the university? What was your career?
Well, mostly I was responsible for non-academic things for London University. Right. So that was all the sporting side, going back to that, the recreational side, the cultural side.
There's me slating universities and you've colleges got
the main man here in it all.
Well, the colleges, I'm interested in the students, because obviously at the end of the day, they've got a lot to offer and we're trying to bring them all together, youngsters at any age and from wherever they are. All want the same thing, they want a good life and they want to be happy and they don't want to be deeply involved in politics or divisive action in various ways. So I also for a while did some professional fundraising. I worked for an American company which showed me the process of how things work, because a lot of people say, well, things move on and change, but basically they don't, and people don't change. The way of doing things is the same. You may have technology, you may have new ways of doing things, but basically there's something else we were saying earlier on, people are what's important. And that's what we're trying to do here is people will make friends and contacts when they're at university or whatever, and a lot of them will be for life, and certainly some of the ones I knew in London, one or two went back to run their country, and so this is a great strength this country has. I think people still come here from all over the world to be educated. But it is that long-term link that's important. So it's not just while they're at university, those 3 years. It's potentially the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And that's the root of all this. So, as I say, it's a long experience that's led me to want to create this.
So where did the Watling Ubuntu Foundation name come from?
That's interesting. The Watling is Watling Street, which is, the road Christianity from London through to Canterbury. I mean, I didn't come up with it. Different people came up with different names. And then someone said, an Indian friend of mine actually said, Ubuntu. And I didn't know what that meant either. But it's predominantly an African word. Mandela used to use it. But it has different connotations in different places. But basically, it's humanity to others. And I think Mandela used to use it in the context of, because he was a village elder, if you come to my village or you come to my town, you're assured of hospitality and a warm welcome. And that creates the foundation of what we want to do, literally bringing people together.
I love that.
Culturally.
Underpins.
Yeah.
Kind of
what
you stand for.
And someone actually, the young team I've got around me keep coming up with different things. Someone, for example, recently said, you would probably appreciate this, she doesn't like the expression multicultural, but she likes it to be intercultural. And I think, there's a lot of kickback with multicultural at the moment. There's a lot of divisiveness.
Yeah.
So I think intercultural actually does explain it better.
Mm.
You know, we need to understand each other, and we need to understand why it is people do things and say things. And you know, I think it's arrogant of us to think that our culture is the best or the only one.
No, it's nice to learn the other cultures. And
Totally.
So you, how did you come up with the idea of setting up the foundation? What was that kickoff point?
I think it was places I knew when I was working for London University. And, you know, I mean, there are students from all over the world. And unfortunately, they don't integrate, they don't mix. And the Brits are not very good at getting together with them either. The, you know, British students are a little bit insular. But there were places in London, International Hall, International Students House, and then there was a hall of residence, which was actually funded by 80 different countries. And so obviously, you know, all the students collected there as a hall of residence.
Mm.
But it was that atmosphere. It was like a sort of a club atmosphere as well. So it was very informal. But again, it was getting people together and helping them to understand each other. But at risk of repeating myself, as I said earlier on, it's also making friends and contacts for life. We will all do business, whoever we are, with people we know and trust.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's that, and it's, I mean, I've talked to one or two senior people at the various universities, and they see it as something that will not only recruit students, but retain them as well. So we want to create, as I say, a permanent centre. But one of the girls who's involved with us suggested that we produced an app, which from the earlier conversation, you'll know actually started over my head.
So you're not going to be running that. You're not going to be managing that, John.
Well, we're working with a delightful guy, Ryan Lewis, who runs a company called Cohere. And he does develop apps. But Holly, who came up with the idea, actually worked for an app development company. And she said she was going to learn all she could because it would be good for us. And I think she's right.
That's fantastic.
So that will get, because creating a permanent centre, a building is not a short term thing. That's going to take us quite a while.
Of course.
And we're.
Is that going to be in Canterbury?
Well, it'll start in Canterbury. Yeah, there is so much in Canterbury, but the East Kent generally. You know, we got to start somewhere, and that seems to be the right place to do it. It's where I live. I don't want to go too far.
I was going to give it lots of other great reasons, but because you live there, that's the perfect reason.
Well.
But we were saying off air earlier that Canterbury has got such a high volume of colleges, universities, and language schools that the whole of Canterbury is.
Well, there are four universities.
Right.
And there's an American university set up as well.
Right.
A branch of American university. And as you say, the language schools. And of course, King's, Kent College, and Edmund School. I mean, it's quite extraordinary in one area. I mean, the residents are outnumbered during the academic year.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, we were saying we want to know why. Why have all of these universities and schools decided to set up there? Paul, that's your next challenge. Let us know, please.
But there's a lot of history and tradition already in Canterbury, isn't it?
Yeah.
So well, everybody knows Canterbury because of
its history.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right. So maybe it's because of that, the fact that it is very
I'm sure
mainstream.
That contributed. But it makes something like our project even more relevant to something like Canterbury. But I think, too, if we get it right, it's something that's transferable to other cities. So, you know, I mean, we're quite ambitious for it. But at the end of the day, it's the youngsters who are involved, it's their future. And if
you have a council, do you,
well,
of the students who are involved?
It's a bit informal at the moment because, I mean, this is the first time I've gone anywhere public on this. So,
good that you're doing it.
Exclusive here today on the Bunker Extra Show.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope one day that you know, you'll be pleased you said that.
Keep the podcast. It'll be worth a lot of money one day.
Yeah.
I mean, although we've got charitable status, we're very keen to be self-supporting. You know, a charity sometimes means children or emotional things, but we are a chartered incorporated organisation, which means that we can function as a commercial business, not for profit business. So as long as we don't launder money or pay each other £1 million a year or whatever.
Yeah. Or don't get caught doing it.
Or don't.
Sorry.
Ooh.
If you've got some tips, that's great. Yeah. I'll look forward to hearing from them. But, you know, so I think it's important that we are independent, you know, so that we're not beholden to only one particular university or
And also you can then trailblaze.
Well, that's
you know, others can follow in your footsteps, when you're such a success.
We want to maintain a grip on it, certainly, and so that it goes in the right direction and it's not hijacked politically or for other nefarious means. So that's very important to us, as is, you know, becoming self-supporting financially. So to partly answer your question, I mean, a lot of what I now want to do is to get the best possible advice and support. So we're looking for partners, people who can advise us, whether it's on technology or setting up membership schemes, whatever it is, we're looking for the best advice we can get. And so I want to create an advisory group from business people who can help us with that. And to develop the ideas.
And I guess that's the thing, isn't it? So although you're registered as a registered charity, it's the foundation, a lot of the time what you need is help and support or the services, so businesses can dedicate their time and their services rather than just pouring money in, as it were.
That's
help
exactly
you.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I mean, we've had support to the a six-figure tune up to this point, but that's some money, but it's also mostly support in kind. You know, use of an office, professional backup and so on. So I've tried to make sure all the youngsters who have been involved are not out of pocket. I mean, some of them, you know, don't want to be paid, but I you know, we've all got to live. So I try and make sure that they're all, you know, recompensed, as it were. But now we need to be a great deal more professional in our approach and to create a proper body that, you know, proper business set up. But as I say, to be independent and to be self-sustaining. So I don't want us to be seen as a charity.
Right.
So it can be sponsorship. It can be...
Are you going to be doing lots of fundraising then going forward? Or is that not kind of part of your
model? Not really, no. I think we're looking for one or two major partners, people who can grow with us and bring their expertise to help us. But in the long run, you know, if people are prepared to make that effort now, then yes, there can be serious business opportunities in the long run. You know, if we're running a permanent building, there'll be catering, there'll be all the backup facilities that are necessary there. A membership scheme, you know, we want to link possibly with an international hotel chain so that our members can be sure that wherever they go around the world, you know, that people will welcome them. As part of our
consistent
organization
as well. I mean,
this is all going to take us a while, obviously.
Great ambition. Yeah.
So, but I think we can pull it off. And the team I've got around me are just brilliant. Basically, you know, the youngsters, they keep me
young.
So, just to clarify, actually, I just have to quickly do this tweet from Lisa, because obviously we were talking about Ubuntu, so I don't forget later. Last night, the Business Diaries, we was introduced to the word Sarabona.
Oh.
Sarabona means we see you, and it's an African word, and often you say we see you, we understand you, we're not judging, and all that type of thing. And if somebody says to you Sarabona, then you say Yabo Sarabona, and you say so it means yes, I see you too. Right. So it's again about opening that up. You know, we're here, we're friendly, yes. we're hospitable even. Thanks for reminding me of that, release, because that was a great thing to learn last night.
Oh, that's good. Yeah,
so we have to put that as one of your words to use. So just to clarify, the foundation, what's it about? Who's it for?
Well, to begin with, it's for the international students. You know, we've got to start somewhere. So the app, for example, will hopefully, I mean, a lot of them spend the 3 years finding out where everything is and how everything works, and then they're off. So, you know, we want to try and put something together that they can contribute to, but also learn from, to find out, you know, how Canterbury works and where everything is. So that'll be a starting point. That'll get us underway and hopefully get people to know who we are better. But I think, too, it's important that it plays its part in the community. There is always an issue with university towns of town and gown. There's a resentment particularly in Canterbury, where so many houses now are, what do they call them, HMOs, houses of multiple occupancy.
Right, yeah.
So nearly all
student
the areas.
Accommodation.
And, you know, some people don't take kindly to that. So it's a question of bringing the community together with the students as well. But I think, too, business recruitment, you know, there are a lot of very talented people who come to places like the University of Kent particularly. And a lot of them would like to stay and work in Canterbury, but there needs to, or in the southeast region, so there needs to be something for them. So that there is that part of it too. I think it can contribute to the business side and the development.
That's the thing, isn't it? Because I mean, obviously, students are great, can be great workers, helping out with any types of business. So basically, this foundation is to bring together all those international students that come here.
That's the starting
give
point.
Give them a common place to meet, get together, and you say learn more about the area. So I guess that's the thing, isn't it? Moving to a different country is probably tricky enough as it is. Then moving to a different country and having to, you know, although you're studying different languages and all that type of thing. So. You're putting together all the resources into one place to help the students.
But I think for the community, the business community particularly, I mean, that is good in the sense that these students will identify with Canterbury or wherever they're doing this well after they've graduated and gone home.
Absolutely.
And I think one of the problems I see, as I was saying earlier on, you know, having worked for London University for a number of years, that most London University students used to think very highly of that involvement, of them being part of that community. But a lot of that's going now because so many universities are now businesses and students are just customers, basically. Mm. And so they're obviously getting their qualifications, but they're missing on the social side. They're missing on the element that brings them together.
Yeah.
So that's another part of why I think what we're doing is important.
Mm.
And whilst we're not allowed to be political, we apparently, through this chartered incorporated organisation, which we are, which only came into being just before we were applying, actually, allows us to get involved in various things, as long as it's not party political. And so one of the added features, if you like, of what we're doing quite recently has been the divisiveness in the political world generally. I'm not going to go into my thoughts on that.
Safe and careful.
I think you know, we can contribute to that quite definitely in the long term. You know, this isn't going to happen instantly, obviously, but as people develop their friendships and their contacts, this is something which I think can contribute in the long term.
Mm. I have a little bit of advice, John.
Yes, go on.
I think you need to get well familiar with Facebook.
Well, I am on it, apparently.
Right.
I am on it, apparently.
Get a community group going, because that is going to be a brilliant way to get everybody, you know, I know you want to get everybody, you know, integrating and engaging in person and in these, you know, in these centres and things. But as a starting point until that time, you know, Facebook is amazing for that type of thing. And that's what it was built for, to build communities.
Yeah.
So if, you know, you can have one of your team members set that up, run it, get a group going, and people can engage in that update on what's happening.
It's set up, but I think you've hit one of the problems is, you know, keep it running.
Cause, it is. It does take time and effort.
And that, to a degree, is, I think, what I want to do next is to make sure that we can get some support or some funding where I can pay people to do
outsource that. There's lots of businesses in and around Kent who do that. Yeah.
So, you know, that's something we are looking to do. But no, you're right. As I say, although I'm technologically proficient, I do understand.
You
know,
of course you do. You know the saying, John, you're never too old.
That's right. That's right.
That's what they say.
You'll see John posting in no time.
You wait till you're my age, you'll know.
we're going to be introducing him to his first selfie in a little while.
Oh, yeah, we sure will.
That's how you roll. It was really great and really interesting, and I really think it's a fantastic thing that you're doing, that it's helping.
Most definitely.
As you say, and it's about building those foundations, because those friendships and foundations last a lifetime. And you just, with anything you do in life, and especially running a business, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Totally.
Those connections are totally powerful. Is your net, your network is your net worth.
Mm-hmm.
We love all those networks.
That's the second one you've given me. What was the other one?
Sarah Booner.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
We have unfortunately beginning to run out of time to the end of the show, but if people want to get in contact with you, do you know the best way for them to get in contact with you? So apparently they are on Facebook, they are on Twitter.
Do you have a website?
Website.
Yes, there is a website.
Yeah. So the website is whatlinubuntu.co.uk, isn't it? Was it
.org?
.org.
.org.
.org. .org. Yeah. Thank you.
Whatlinubuntu.org.
So Ubuntu is UBUNTU. So Whatlin, WATLINGUBUNTU. They are on Twitter at WhatlinUbuntu. You are on Twitter, by the way, John.
Oh,
yeah, you've been tagging you in all week on the post. They are on Facebook.
Good old Karen.
So get connected if you're an international student, if you know international students, and if you're a business that can help build the foundation and be a part of the growth of the foundation by offering your services, your advice. John would love to hear from you.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
The email address.
Yes, if you've got the email address, go for it.
It's john@whatlinubuntu.org.
There we go. Fantastic.
Do you regularly look at it, John?
Yeah.
Do you?
Somebody that checks it for him.
I do. I have someone who phones me as soon as we get them.
There's an email.
Your PA. That's how it happens. Yeah.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. It's been lovely, really lovely to speak with you today.
Well, yeah.
Thank you for coming and sharing.
I've enjoyed it.
Thank you.
It's been great.
Brilliant.
We have got a couple of events to shout out for you. Most of them actually are way down in the future, but I have got a couple that are happening in the next couple of weeks. So we had the lovely Roland Stanley on last week from Dragon, and Dragon always run lots of different events throughout the year for business owners, and they're fantastic. So the next one is coming up, the next Waffle 8, which is sponsored by Westbury Property, and it's a networking waffling type of evening, but I do know there's free waffles. So if you like a good waffle with a waffle, it's actually next week. It's the 18th from 4 to 5.30 at Dragon Co-working in Chatham. If you go to dragoncoworking.co.uk, the events page, all of the events are on there, so you can book there. And then they've got some interesting business events coming up. So you've got bookkeeping, the basics. One thing all of us business owners love is bookkeeping, or not, as the case may be. That is on the 22nd of July from 4 to 5.30. And then the wonderful Carrie and Neil from Clockwork Moggy, who are actually on our show next week, they're running a brand identity rock star event, which is on the 7th of August from 5.30 to 7pm, and the importance of logo design. So we, you know, branding, a lot of people just think branding is, you know, your initial logo and then off you go. But there's so much, branding is very, very important for your business, and you'll get to learn more. So that is on the 7th of the 8th. Again, if you go onto the Dragon website, you can find them there, which is great. And then on the 24th of July, it's Wednesday, 24th July, from 6 to 7.30 at the Metro Bank in Maidstone is the next FSB Connect Networking. This is being hosted by Peter Searle, previously of the Business Doctors, no longer of the Business Doctors.
He's not there anymore.
Peter has gone out on his own, and we're going to get him in soon to find out more about that. But if you want to go to the FSB at this event, Joe Rossi from Locating Kent will be talking about what they can do, what support they can provide, whether you're starting your first business, scaling, or relocating your premises. So it's free to go to. If you go to Eventbrite and look up FSB Connect Maidstone, you can book on to that. Now, I've given you a couple, and I know one of them is September, one of them is October, but people, you need to be prepared. Put these dates in your diary. So we've got quickly just time to do the dates and what they are, and that's about it. We ran out of time today.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got the King Summit Business Scale Up Conference. That's Thursday, the 10th of October, between 8 till 4 at the Kent County Cricket Ground.
Yeah.
Cricket again. It's
very in theme today.
Really. So, yes, if you want to get on that, that's going to be hosted by Simon Teak. Will be a brilliant event. I went to that last year.
Last year. And I've got pictures of you last year.
Do you?
Yes, I saw you.
Ooh la la. So, yeah, do get yourself along to that. Go look it up. For more details and to book, it is www.thekingssummit.com. And of course, the one and only event on Thursday, the 26th of September at 9 to 4, it is the Tech Expo UK.
John, you need to come to this one. For sure. It's, yeah. Educate business owners and
Actually, this would be brilliant for
John. It would actually be brilliant. Yeah, okay. Joking aside,
you need
really
to get,
yeah,
John, you're coming. You're coming on Thursday, 26th of September. It's going to be at the Kent Events Centre in Detlin. It's a one-day exhibition and seminar bringing together industry experts to help business owners to understand what technology is out there and how it can help them run, build and grow their business more effectively and efficiently. One of the world's top technology companies, Microsoft, will provide in a keynote seminar, and they'll be sharing with us how they're working to support businesses of all sizes. So we're looking at one of the biggest fears we all have, and that's staying human in a digital world. So please do look to get on that. For more details, you can visit www.techexpouk.com. So go check it out.
And one last one for you, which is getting in September. Be prepared, put it in your diary. Do you need to learn more about employment law and HR and health and safety for your business? Wednesday, the 18th of September, 12 to 2 p.m. at the K-Sport Cobham, Aylesford by Orchard Employment Law and Hawk Safe. We're going to talk more about it next week. But if you go to Eventbrite, Lunch and Learn Employment Law, you will see Gemma Fecker-Haynes has joined up with Hawk Safe to bring you and share knowledge. We've run out of time. We've fallen off the end of the show, as we always do. I'll be back next week. Co-host is the young Ben Abbott, and we've got Carrie and Neil from Clockwork Moggy. Paul's got another great show on Tuesday. Listening to that, we're going to say bye for now.
Bye-bye. Have a good weekend.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders. This is Channel 2.